It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We're going to talk about why the Indiana Pacers lost last night and Monday night, and the reason isn't the referees. Rick Carlisle last night kind of went off on the referees. He got tossed from the game. And after the game, he talked about 29 calls that he thought went against the Pacers on Monday night. And I don't blame him. It's good. Fine. Strategically, lay it out against the officials. Make noise about the officials. Phil Jackson used to do this. I think Phil Jackson wakes up late at night, comes straight up and says, the referees are screwing us. The referees are the reason we're getting beat. It happened again and again and again when he was a coach of the Bulls, when he was a coach of the Lakers. This is part of the playoffs, is to carp about the officiating, make it about the officiating, and hopefully you get a better whistle, because these guys are human beings too. Then in game three, suddenly you start getting a different kind of whistle. I get that, but that's not the reason that the Pacers lost last night or Monday. We'll talk about why they lost on Monday and last night. And sadly, I don't think it's something that's immediately correctable. It's something that's corrected in the offseason. And maybe the Pacers can do it, maybe they can't. Do they have the kind of basketball players who during the offseason can develop the traits of a playoff winning team? We'll talk about that. Fever tonight, they got their preseason kind of debut at home at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And we'll see Caitlin Clark play an utterly meaningless game for the Fever tonight before they finally get it going for real. And we see what Caitlin Clark is going to be as a member of the Fever, and maybe somebody who can bring regular season success to the Fever in a measure they haven't experienced for quite a while. I mean, they've had the number one overall draft pick the last 2 years, and that's happened for a reason. They've got Boston. They've got Clark. It's time finally to start winning a little bit if you're the Indiana Fever. We'll talk about the Colts. Their rookie minicamp starts tomorrow, so we're going to see these guys. We're not really going to learn a hell of a lot from them. We're going to talk to them, and we're going to try to figure out who they are. And then once we get to the OTAs, we're going to see how Richardson works with some of these guys. We'll kind of go down the position groups and see what we think about these Indianapolis Colts. And whether they can take, it seems like such a small step up, doesn't it? That, you know what, one caught pass last year in that season finale against the Texans, and it's likely that the Colts go to the playoffs as the AFC South. They've done very little in the offseason to elevate what they do and who they are. They've kind of maintained the status quo and done it as a strategy. Is that strategy going to work against the franchise that beat them last year in the season finale and has really gone to work in the offseason? We'll talk about that a little bit. This is Breakfast with Kent for Thursday, May 9th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. Here's the deal. At MyBookie, you use promo code Kent. I don't need to tell you how to spell it. There's only one way to spell Kent. K-E-N-T. Use that as your promo code at MyBookie, and look what happens. You unlock a sign-up bonus that could be worth up to $1,000. Wonderful. MyBookie, where you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. Let's go. Make sure and subscribe. I'm going to tell you things you don't want to hear. That's what we do. I try to be honest. I don't pander. That's not what I do. And so if you want a pandering channel, this isn't going to be it. But you should subscribe anyway. Like the video, even if you don't care much for the message today. Go ahead and hit the thumbs up button. Hey, And if you want to make a donation, make a donation. We appreciate it. Include a comment or a question. We share it with the group. Randy Smith did just that. It's going to be ugly for the Knicks and Indy. Yes, it is. And it should be. Pacers fans need to show up big time. Yes, they do. You've got to make it unpleasant for the Knicks in Indianapolis. You just do. They made it unpleasant for the Pacers last night. That's the way it is. That's why you have a home court advantage. So you got to come out strong to Cambridge Fieldhouse, and hopefully somehow that the toughness of the crowd imbues this roster of the Pacers with some toughness that we haven't seen through two games of this best of seven series. It is really hard to come back from a 2-0 deficit in a best of seven playoff series. 2-0, it's not death, but you need to win 4 of 5. And that is really, really difficult against a team that just beat your ass twice. And like I said, it's not the officials that are tilting the scales in the favor of the Knicks. It's the Knicks' toughness. The Pacers are not a tough team. And that has been obvious over the first two games of this series. They're just not. They were tough enough to beat the Bucks. They're not tough enough to beat Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart. OG Anunoby, we can throw in there because OG had a really good first half last night for the Knicks. The Indiana product, and by Indiana product, I mean he spent like 8 months at IU. And so, you know what, with Brunson down prior to him and the training staff figuring out a way to get him on the floor for the second half of game two, OG Anunoby stepped up, put the ball in the bucket, and gave the Knicks a chance. Otherwise, that thing last night was going to be a runaway in the favor of the Pacers. But the Knicks, with Anunoby, good enough to hang around in the first half. Only a 10-point deficit at halftime. 12 points early in the second half when the Pacers scored the first bucket. Then it all went south in a hurry. The Knicks outscored the Pacers 36-18 in that deciding third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, outscored them a little bit again. Rick Carlisle gets tossed out of the game. Go ahead. You may as well. The game was over. Why not do that? Why not make your point as strongly as you possibly can? Getting ejected, I guess that it didn't hurt, right? What I don't understand is you really got one tough guy on the floor. He's 32 years old. It's TJ McConnell. He's only in the NBA because he's really, really tough. And he refused to say no to himself. And he worked his way into a rotational position within the Indiana Pacers. And when he's on the floor, the Pacers are a pretty strong team. And he makes it unpleasant for Jalen Brunson. So what do you do if you're Rick Carlisle? You take him out of the game and you have him sit on his ass for the last 7 minutes of the game. Tell me how that makes any sense. Tell me how that affected the officiating in this game. Tell me how that decision was about winning. Playing Nembhard instead of McConnell. And Nembhard doesn't do anything to ruffle Brunson's feathers. Brunson can deal with Nembhard. McConnell got under Brunson's skin. You got to have toughness to meet toughness, and McConnell is that guy. 141JM says, hi from Perth, Western Australia. Have enjoyed your content the last few years, and long may it continue. Do you think all the hype about the Texans will be a benefit to the Colts? Interesting question. We'll get to that in a moment. It, you know, Miles Turner last night, 6.7 rebounds. Toughness? Not so much. You know, in the regular season, good is good enough. Good basketball is good enough to win in the regular season. In a playoff series against a team like the Knicks, whose primary successful trait is toughness. Let's face it, Jalen Brunson was a second-round draft pick for a reason. Dante DiVincenzo, he was 17th overall. Josh Hart, I don't even know where he was drafted. These guys are really tough basketball players, and they know how to win. And the Pacers, they don't know how to win yet. That doesn't mean that they're not going to develop the traits of a winning team and a winning franchise. They can do that. You go back in time to those teams back at, look at the Bulls back in 89 and 90. Couldn't win against the Pistons, right? Couldn't vanquish them. They got tough. They got tough in the offseason. They got tough. They played. They competed. Jordan figured out a way to pull up, to lift the toughness quotient of Pippen, of Grant. And as a result of Armstrong, as a result, those Bulls team, that Bulls team went on to win three championships in a row in 91, 92, and 93. It can happen, but you need to look at a series like this, which is ultimately likely at this point to be a disappointment to these Pacers. And if the Pacers say, you know what, we had a good year, we're on the road, and they come back intact next year with the same attitude, you're going to have the same result. If they go to work in the offseason and they get tough and that this loss just gnaws at them, then they got a chance to do some good things. PJ says, sorry, but Knicks have broken the will of the Pacers. Knicks seem to want this more than Indy, and then being up 2-0 proves it, not the refs' fault. That's exactly right. It's not about the refs. It's not just about the toughness of guys like Halliburton and Nesmith and Nembhard and Turner. Toppin? Give me Toppin. Give me T.J. McConnell. I don't understand why Rick Carlisle doesn't see this. I think it's preposterous that he doesn't. You've got to put your toughest players on the floor late in an NBA playoff game, and Carlisle just keeps sending the same guys out there, doesn't change his rotation, and then at the end he gets pissed off at the officials. Look in the mirror, brother, and maybe he is. Maybe this official kind of bashing, maybe this is strategic like it was with Phil Jackson. I got no problem with that, but I hope privately he understands that he's part of the problem and he needs to be part of the solution. Toughness needs to play late. Hasn't with the Pacers, and it's a shame. DiVincenzo, did you think that second game in a row, did you think for a minute that three to ice that game last night was not going to go in? Of course it was going to go in, because that's what Dante DiVincenzo does. Let's talk about the Colts for a minute. Rookie mini camp starts tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting opportunity just to kind of gauge the athleticness of this draft class to the extent we can as it competes against itself, and then talk to the guys and try to see, like last year, you got a window during rookie minicamp and the media availability with Josh Downs. You thought, okay, Josh Downs, I'm all about Josh Downs. Josh Downs sounds like a guy who really wants to compete as a rookie and wants to have a successful rookie season, which is exactly what he did. You got to talk to these guys. You got to try to understand what in the world is going on in the noggins of these guys, because what's in the noggins, that's a big part of the equation that Ballard and his staff, Ed Dodds among them, and we'll talk to Ed Dodds tomorrow, what they use to appraise the value of these guys. Cop says, my nephew's sister's husband spells it K-E-N-T-T. There is no second T in Kent, Coop. None. No second T. Let's look at where this team is, and we talk about it a lot, but the offensive line, as Chris Ballard and his staff made the conscious decision to ride with what they got and not turn the roster over, given that they were really one play away from being the AFC South champions, but it's not one play. We know it's not one play, right? All those losses, eight losses, there was one play at least in each of those eight losses. And don't give me the Browns and the officiating and all this crap. It's just, it's weak to blame the officials for anything, whether you're a Pacers fan, whether you're a Colts fan, whatever. It wasn't the officials against the Browns. That defense allowed, what, 38 points, whatever. So let's be honest about it. The Colts lost eight games because in eight games, they were the lesser team. They won nine games because in nine games, they were the better team. Sometimes you get a break that carries a game in one way or another. But the Colts last year, that's who they were, 9-8. And the year before that, they were 4-12-1. And the year before that, they were 9-8. This is kind of a 9-8 franchise. So let's not sugarcoat it. That's what they've been. And kind of expecting to improve with from within, man, you better have a real plan to get that done. Because all 22 of them guys, they got to lift just a little bit in order to make that happen. That offensive line is good. You return the whole thing. You return the depth pieces, and you added two more depth pieces in the draft. The defensive line, they're good, and they're deep. And you added Raekwon Davis in free agency. You added Latu in the draft, 15th overall pick. That group has got to be better. They got to raise hell, because on the back end of that defense, I don't know what you got. You're hoping that Brents can stay healthy and can play to his draft pedigree. You hope that Jones, who competed last year, gets a little bit better. Maybe Flowers is a guy who's going to lift a little bit. Undrafted free agent. He's playing for his livelihood, right? This is about staying in the NFL if you're Dallas Flowers. The safeties, Julian Blackman's going to come back, got to come back healthy, and he's got to play at the level he did last year before the injury. Nick Cross has got to figure it out. He just does. If he doesn't figure it out, that's a wasted third-round pick, and you can't put him back there on the back end of the defense if he's going to let Nico Collins bust the defense wide open for a 75-yard touchdown on the opening play. That's life. The offense, you got talent. The wide receiver room, I really like. Pittman, good. Pierce, okay. Downs in the slot, yes. Gould is a backup slot. The key is going to be Mitchell. Can Mitchell be the guy who's kind of like Malik Nabers and can get open, can find separation? Because you need somebody who, coming out of a cut, can separate a little bit, go up and get a contested ball. Is that going to be what Mitchell brings to this party? It all comes down to Richardson. If he is a better version of what he was during the time we saw him play last year, 85 pass attempts, one pick. That's a great ratio. I'll take that all day. When the pocket breaks down, he's going to go get you first down. That's a good thing. Can he deliver the ball on time and on target? We're going to find out. He kind of got both last year. They said, I don't know, is it going to be better for him to play and learn from playing? Or is it going to be better for him to sit and audit for a year as Minshew plays? He actually wound up doing both. And so hopefully that is a portent of good things to come. We start finding out tomorrow. No. The refs didn't blow the first game. The illegal screen was an illegal screen. What do you want? And there was another illegal screen in the two-minute report that went uncalled. And a defensive 3 seconds that went uncalled. The referees didn't blow that game. The Pacers weren't tough enough. You give up almost 40 points. They gave up 39 points in the fourth quarter, game one. That's not the officials. That's a lack of toughness defensively. And that's a lack of... Hell, it's a lack of toughness offensively, for goodness sake, to lose that game one. You got to be tougher. Halliburton, no shots in the fourth quarter of game one. There's your game. And last night, after playing a really good first half, Halliburton went away for a good portion of the second half. You have got to be willing to do what is necessary to win. Brunson did that last night. Brunson did that in game one. DiVincenzo did that in game one. Josh Hart, hey, the referees didn't fail to block out Josh Hart on that free throw attempt. This is all about the Pacers. Pacers have to own it. Pacers have to go to work or this series is over. Let's celebrate some birthdays. The great Bill Nichols celebrating a birthday. Todd Garner, the great Jenny Scott celebrating a birthday. Jessica Sherman, happy birthday. Sheila Orcutt, the great Duncan Smith. Happy birthday to Duncan. Sam Agee, happy birthday. Look, if today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you better be tough enough to celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else. That's best done with an honest and specific compliment. I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pander to you. I won't do it. I'm going to tell you what the truth is, and the truth is this team was not tough enough to have anything but an 0-2 deficit as the Pacers come back to Indianapolis to play game three. And they better understand that. Toughness sometimes is a look in the mirror. and prompted by a look in the mirror. And the Pacers better be looking in the mirror this morning. And that goes all the way up to Kevin Pritchard, who put this group together. Don't see this as a step in the right direction if they lose this series. Losing a series is losing a series. This team's good enough to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Are they tough enough to go to the Eastern Conference Finals? We're going to find that out Friday and Sunday.